Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. Pick an iconic Vermont image, and you could have a lot of fun hunting them all around the state. Covered bridges, round barns, white clapboard churches. What about general stores? That's what Julia Clancy did. She's a food writer for 7 days and has been on a summer-long road trip to some of Vermont's iconic general stores. Julia, welcome to the VPR Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you're not a native Vermonter, so what was your image of a Vermont general store before you moved here?
Well, my first image of a Vermont general store was one mostly of nostalgia. So that's kind of the perspective that I grew up with, that the Vermont general store is a place of fudge and flannel and maybe maple syrup. Not that it was a place that existed as a lasting institution that people still used for everyday needs. And of course, that sentiment was challenged immediately as I started my tour.
Well, why did you undertake this tour, and what were you hoping to find?
I was fascinated by the general store. So general stores in Vermont are incredible representations of the state culture. So like I said, I'm not from Vermont. I'm from Boston. And Boston has its own versions of cultural epicenters, you know, a lobster shack or maybe a great Jewish deli that I grew up next to. But nothing as representative as of a state culture as a general store in Vermont. So I was intrigued first and foremost on that front, that these lasting institutions still existed. So, you know, they've survived 2 world wars. They've survived the Depression. They've survived years of technological advancements and super grocery stores, convenience stores, and they're still lasting. And people were very attached to their own general stores, and I could sense that immediately when moving here. I wanted to figure out why.
You've been to a number of them so far. Mm-hmm. What have you found to be true about Vermont General Stores in 2016?
That's a great question. For me, one of the foremost aspects of a general store is that it's still used for everyday needs. So yes, it does have the flannels, some of them. Some of them do have maple candies, but it's still an epicenter of the community. People still go there, whether it's for social needs, whether it's for groceries, whether it's to pick up supplies or tools or fishing rods. I had the pleasure of talking to Dennis Bathory-Kitts, who wrote Country Stores of Vermont, kind of the tome of general stores in Vermont. It's a really excellent book. And he said something that was very striking. He said that people go into general stores and they're still purveyors of everyday needs. So you can buy things online. You can order something off of Staples, but it's not going to get you during a power blackout. It's not going to get you from point A to B during, he mentioned, Hurricane Irene, when roads are closed and people really turn to their general stores as communal and economic support.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm speaking with Julia Clancy, a food writer for 7 days. We're talking about her summer-long statewide general store tour. Julia, are there any that really feel like throwbacks to a much earlier time in Vermont?
Absolutely. I think one of the great things about a general store is that a lot of them feel like throwbacks to a former time. So general stores, as lasting institutions, they need to renovate. They need to update to still be enduring. So you see things like an updated wine program. You have places like J.J. Hapgood's, which feels very updated.
Where's that one?
J.J. Hapgood's is in Peru. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, cornhole outside. They have this huge kitchen with a wood fire oven, avocado toast, which I don't think you'd find 50 years ago on a general store menu. But then you also have places like Willie's in Greensboro. You have the Moncton General Store, which I really like. Four Corners, which actually has an excellent barbecue smoke pit in the back. Fantastic eats there. The general store in Addison County is really excellent, too. That feels very old school. And I think the old school aspect of it is reinforced by the community. So the common thread that I've found with general stores is that people want it there. For example, the Putney General Store, which I wrote about during my first issue, was saved twice by the community after it twice burnt nearly to the ground within a year of each other. So they reconstructed it and it burnt to the ground. They built it again from the ground up. So I think in that sense, it feels a little old school in a good way because people still go there to talk to each other. People still know each other's names, ask about people's moms, ask if they need a babysitter. I like that aspect. And I think that stands out to me because, you know, nowadays everything is done pretty virtually. You have cell phones. You have a means of obtaining anything you need that doesn't involve face-to-face. But these are real stalwarts where people want that sort of interaction. They crave it. And I think that's a huge reason why it's enduring.
Can you take us to any general stores where they had some things on the shelves that really surprised you?
Oh, absolutely. I think, like I said, as a non-native Vermonter, walking into a general store and seeing things like hunting gear or seeing things like a can of B&M brown bread. I didn't even know they still made those. That was at the Vermont Country Store. So that's, you know, that's the big nostalgia general store with a capital N. Home-baked goods in every single location that you couldn't even get in other parts of Vermont. Beefalo from the Dorset Union Store, which is a combination of cow and buffalo, made by a guy down the street and delivered twice a week to the Dorset Union Store. Did not know that existed. Looks pretty tasty. I'm going to have to get some next time I go.
Well, you mentioned the Vermont Country Store, which is in Weston and Rockingham, kind of the Mac Daddy. Why is that one so special?
It's special because, just like you said, it's the Mac Daddy. I mean, it was one of my first encounters with a Vermont general store, the whole concept of it, as someone, you know, reading the catalog in Boston. And that was another thing that inspired my general store tour, was I was reading the New York Times, and there was an article in the New York Times talking about the Vermont Country Store catalog, and they said, I'm paraphrasing this quote, but they said something like, it was a trip down memory lane so masterfully paved that I didn't care whose memories I was remembering. That's a powerful thing to do. I mean, they still are the Mac Daddies, and I went to go visit them. I went to the Weston location, and I had just come from the Dorset Union Store, which is 200 years old, huge communal staple, kind of the opposite of that commoditized type of nostalgia, but they do it so well. I mean, it's still owned by the Orton family. It's very well known. And you walk on site and there's an old ice cream stand, there's wooden chairs on the porch, old memorabilia. I mean, you have penny candy, but it's really, you know, it's codified. So they have their branding on everything. It's really taking this idea of nostalgia and this nostalgic aspect of Vermont and putting kind of a business label on it, which is interesting. I mean, they even coined the term, the Vermont Country Store. That's their name. And I think in that sense, they're big powerhouses nationally, not just within Vermont in the Vermont Country Store realm. But it's interesting to go in there and have a perception of it and totally buy the feeling they were giving me. And I also thought when I was reading that quote in the New York Times that I didn't necessarily agree with it. I think one of the points of a general store is that you're not remembering someone else's memories. If you're a Vermonter, these are your own memories. You have a general store that you're very close to. And I think that's a huge reason why I was interested in general stores in the first place.
Now, if you haven't gotten to Currier's and Glover yet, you've got to go.
It's on my list.
It has the most taxidermy per square foot anywhere in the world.
I've heard. It's number one on my list right now. Got to get up there.
Julia Clancy is a food writer for 7 Days. Thanks so much for joining us at the VPR Cafe.
Thank you for having me.